The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us tonight on another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray, being your host for the evening. Joining me tonight is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Hello.
It's a two-man show tonight. Shannon and Allie are in St. Louis, so they weren't able to make it for PW or the CCW Live that we just wrapped up. Hopefully that did get posted to the CCW page. We haven't gone back and checked it yet, but we were on a hot streak of those actually posting, so we're just going to assume everything went great.
If it didn't, get a time machine, go back in time, because we were fire.
It went okay.
I liked it.
we're going to be covering the big events, which not a whole, like, this isn't a bad week for Shannon and Allie to miss, because not a whole lot happened aside from No Mercy and Raw and SmackDown. So
yeah, and we got some extra stuff that we can kind of talk about that you and I enjoy talking about, like Ring of Honor, Bullet Club, stuff like that.
Yeah. Starting things off, something that kind of hits us close to home because, as many of you know who listen to the show, CCW Fan Fest and Best of the Best 2 is this Saturday, September 29th and September 30th. And part of that big Fan Fest thing is Jeff Hardy is going to be here, with his band Paroxygen. And we are getting a concert. We get to meet him. He's actually going to appear on the podcast as long as everything lines up. But we were told that he's actually going to be a guest on the podcast, which is going to be super cool. Now, unfortunately, he, in a match on Raw, injured his shoulder pretty severely a couple weeks ago in that it was the six-pack challenge.
Yeah, that's what they told us. Yeah.
It was the number one contendership match that was decided for which Jason Jordan went on to win. And it looks like he is going to be getting rotator cuff surgery next week. I think it's scheduled for Tuesday, which is a real, like, my stepdad got rotator cuff surgery and it still plagues him.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that, like, Jeff Hardy's not a young man anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those, Benjamin tore his labrum. It wasn't rotator cuff from what if I remembering it correctly, but like anytime it's a shoulder surgery, you have to automatically think 10 to 12 months, which is really, really bad. Like, well, not bad. Like, it's good that it's not worse than what it is, but Jeff, like, you can, at any point they could hotshot Jeff to the number one contendership chance or title for the Universal, and everybody would be on board for it.
No, you're right. But apparently it is really bad because it's not just his rotator cuff. Like, there was fear that it was dislocated. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned the laborum, but they're not going to know until they actually get in there to repair it.
Yeah. And that's the thing with shoulders. There's so many things, like we said, your rotator cuff, which you're, dad had issues with, labrum, which my older sister tore whenever she was playing softball in high school. She tore it, like, I think she tore it once, and it was an automatic 10 months no activity.
Yeah,
because it's just, that's, there's so much like motion and movement in your shoulder that if something like that gives out, you literally have to wait for it to be 100% before you do anything.
Yeah, so it's really unfortunate. You never want to see anybody get injured. You definitely, especially, you know, the Hardys coming back so strong. They've, you know, been a major part of Raw since they redebuted, you know,
yeah,
already winning the Raw Tag Team Champions. And so it looked like it didn't necessarily look like they were splitting him up, but, you know, they were, you know, he had that match against Miz. He was in that six-pack challenge as number one contendership. So do you think that this is a time where, and he even, like, when he talked about the severity of his injury, he even mentioned that there are ideas floating around for him to stay on TV outside of a competitor role. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe he could start managing Matt if Matt starts to get, because we're all aware of what Matt Hardy is capable of in a solo capacity.
Yeah.
Especially with this seemingly woken, you know, this awoken Matt Hardy. Just give him broken.
I was so on board with Fractured Hardys. I don't know why Fractured cracks me up, but Fractured,
the South Park game.
That's what it is. But yeah, no, it's just a shame to see, like, at the twilight of somebody's career, like, because they're still going at a high rate.
Yeah,
like, we can't forget that the WrestleMania weekend when they won that ladder match that they both put some pretty good spots into. They literally had a ladder match less than 24 hours before with the Young Bucks.
Yep.
Who, good luck if you have a match with them, because you're gonna have a night.
Oh, yeah.
So it's one of those where it's just like they can still very much go at a high level, but we all know that they're not young anymore. And Jeff's, in particular, his style of match only wears on your body more and more.
Which, and it's amazing to, it's, this is his first like real injury.
Minus,
from wrestling. Yeah. From wrestling. Yeah. From wrestling. Cause yeah, he had the, you know, the dirt bike accident and, you know, other instances of him being hurt, but this is the first thing to come from actually wrestling.
Yeah.
So, and it's crazy to think of how long he has been doing such a high risk style that it hasn't happened sooner.
Yeah, and it's impressive. Like, cause I wanted to say, Asa, can you please say the fun fact about this injury? But that sentence alone is really messed up. But like the fact that he's never been hurt. I think there's been a couple times where he like had to take a week off. Like WWE gave him a week off after like a ladder match,
mm-hmm.
but never like, all right, you're done for 10
months. He's never missed like 6 to 9 months, something like that. So, but yeah, so as we get more, information on that, like I said, I believe the surgery is next Tuesday. So mm-hmm. hopefully we'll get a time frame of when he'll be able to return, to the ring, by hopefully next week's episode, and we'll be able to talk about that. But we definitely wish him the best of luck. And if you want a chance to meet him, come out to the arena building here in Cape Girardeau on Friday night. $15 gets you in the door to meet all the CCW talent, and then $25 will get the photo op with Jeff Hardy. He'll autograph stuff for you, and the Paroxy Gin concert is free with your admission into the building. So, and you mentioned the Young Bucks. Speaking of the Young Bucks, this isn't really a news thing, but I thought it was neat. The Young Bucks have a YouTube channel. It's Being the Elite.
Yes.
Is the name of the channel. They have, and they've been doing this, documentary series, pseudo documentary series. It started really heavy documentary and then it turned into like them just kind of goofing around and doing skits and stuff, but it's really entertaining. I've actually been watching a lot of it at work. I'm up to like episode 52 or 53, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's really about where, like, right around, like, early to mid-40s is when they start kind of doing, like, storyline stuff. But it's just this really cool thing where they, you know, talk about their travel days. It's like, okay, so we're currently on our way to LAX. It's 6 in the morning. We're catching 2 flights. We're going to be traveling for a total of 19 hours. This is where we're going. This is what we're doing. And it's super interesting. Like, I'm interested by that stuff. And they're unnaturally charismatic. So even them just kind of like complaining about being stiff and being stuck in a car or on an airplane is just fun to watch.
Have you ever watched, I don't know, I'm sure I've asked you before, but have you ever watched Wrestling Road Diaries?
Yeah.
Any of Colt Cabana's?
Yeah.
Just that second one with Luke Gallows and Cliff Compton, mm-hmm. where it's just like, no, that's Luke Gallows all the time. Mm-hmm. He's never not that guy.
Yeah.
And I could very much see that, like, because I've watched Being the Elite too, and they're just interesting guys. Anytime they're on a podcast, I absolutely have to listen to it because they seem just like they're good talkers in life, not just like microphone talkers,
yeah.
but just like they're entertaining.
Yeah, no, they're super charismatic. So go check out the Being the Elite YouTube channel. It's super entertaining. Like I said, about early to, and they're all like 10, 15 minute episodes, so it's not like it's a giant time commitment. But from about issue like, or issue, I keep doing that. Comic book show is in a couple more weeks. Episode 40-ish is when they start kind of doing in some more story stuff with Marty Scurll and Adam Cole, baby, and, you know, Kenny Omega's there. And they even do the whole, like, when the Bullet Club kicked Adam Cole out of ROH. Like, that was a huge plot point in Being the Elite. Cody, don't call him Rhodes, has his own running gag with the F the Revival, FTR stuff. But this past Monday night, they filmed a very special episode where they, air quotes, invaded Monday Night Raw. They had a legion of fans wearing Young Bucks shirts, Bullet Club shirts. They had a megaphone. Hangman Page was there.
Yeah.
Marty Scurll was there. Cody Rhodes was there. Brandi Rhodes was there. It was a fun thing because they're doing this bit where WWE is currently stealing stuff from them. They had kidnapped and tortured Adam Page. He was missing for a few weeks. They're saying that they sent them cease and desist letters for saying suck it. And so they went to find the Stooge is what they're calling him. This person who is like,
Can I take a guess at it?
It wasn't revealed.
Oh, okay, because I know that, like, I saw a report that they were calling Balor during all of this.
Oh, yeah, no, they were outside, and they're like, hey, give us our friends back. Where's Gallows? Where's Anderson?
So they were flat out doing the DX.
On a megaphone, yeah. Except,
that's amazing.
Except instead of a tank, it was a Hummer limo, like a Hummer stretch limo.
That's way more cool.
And it looked like they got, like, they weren't just in the parking lot. Like, parts of it were definitely in the parking lot, but some of it looked like they were, like, there was a sign that said staff parking. And it looked like that's where they were for a bulk of it. So
good.
That's kind of neat to see. But yeah, like, you know, they're calling out Balor. They call it like AJ. Like, they want their friends back. So that was kind of neat.
Did they call for Luke Gallows?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one. I'd just be like, keep him. No, yeah. I love him, but he too much.
No, they
too
called because they called for him and Anderson and Balor. Yeah, so pretty much anyone who they used to like wrestle with in ROH got an honorable mention, and they requested that he would come back. So, I mean, that's just, I like that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah,
this wasn't TNA like the Voodoo Kin Mafia and, you know, running down WWE. This was like a fun thing.
Yeah,
this wasn't meant to be taken seriously. This is just, you know,
because their original thing was they were doing a signing at a Hot Topic.
Yeah.
So it was just like, wait, we're in Ontario, California. They're in Ontario, California. Can we get through the signing really quick so we can go F with them for a bit? Because this is what we want to do. Like, this is perfect timing. Yeah. So I don't know if they scheduled it that way, but they're like, hey, we're going to go do this thing.
It's just, it's a fun thing. It's done, you know, playfully. It's good natured. Like, I don't think there's any, you know, bad blood there. So that's why I like to see it. And that was just neat. Cody Rhodes has a really funny bit in it that I won't spoil for you, but yeah, go check that out. And then also other New Japan and ROH news. I don't really say it's news because it's a survey that WWE sent to some network subscribers.
Okay.
Asking about what they would like to see in potential network, what you would like to see on the network. Do you want to see added scripted shows like a WWE version of The Office? Do you want to see behind the scenes stuff? What do you want to see? But on that list of options included ROH, both back library, they called it like a historical library,
yeah.
And current event, Impact Wrestling, GFW, and they even put TNA /GFW/Impact.
Because they don't even know.
Oh, yeah, because it's impossible to keep straight. You know, do you want to see New Japan, other regional independent promotions, which some people took that as a little bit of a dig on New Japan, even though they're arguably the number two wrestling company in the world.
Yeah.
So just the, but then they also had a potential, you know, do you want to see more tournament shows? King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring. They even pitched a Pro-Am is how they labeled it, but it's a WWE versus NXT tournament. Sign me up for that.
No.
Yeah.
Who do you think they're going to let NXT go over somebody in WWE?
If Triple H is the one doing it, all of them.
Ziggler's going to lose the first
round. Oh, yeah. Ziggler's a first round. You know, that's something that I could see them giving, like, Gargano could win.
Gargano, Black could easily win that one, and that would be an easy call-up. But, yeah, no, I mean, and they do things like this all the time. So, like, there's not a, like you said, this isn't really news as much as it's just, like, WWE's just getting a feeler out there.
Right, because, you know, there were all the rumors whenever, like, the fourth or fifth to last time TNA was imminently going out of business.
Apparently WWE was interested.
Was going to buy the tape library out from underneath them. So, yeah, I think it's interesting to see that WWE is kind of keeping an eye on their gauging interest. They know how popular some of this stuff is. Like, you look at an NXT crowd, a Raw crowd, a SmackDown crowd, there are more Bullet Club and Young Bucks shirts than there are WWE shirts.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Daniel Bryan was on, we talked about Daniel Bryan being on the Edge and Christian podcast a couple weeks ago. One of the stories he told was at WrestleMania weekend, WWE was approached by Hot Topic because Hot Topic asked WWE if they could start carrying Bullet Club shirts because they saw them everywhere. And they had to be like, that's not our thing. What do you mean that's not your thing? It's WrestleMania weekend and these shirts are everywhere. What do you mean that's not your thing? And they had to explain to him, like, yeah, that's not our company. That's not our guys.
Now, I'm going to ask a really dumb question out of this. When was the last time you were in a Hot Topic, like, without me?
A couple months ago.
All right. So have you been in since they started selling the Young Bucks, the Bullet Club stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So I was just there one day being, cause I was going to buy some, cause like I don't have a Gorilla shirt or anything like that, but I just counted the different styles of Bullet Club shirts versus the different styles of WWE shirts. They were more Bullet Club shirts.
Well, and it's, I think part of that is one, they have the greater variety because all Hot Topics are carrying all of the Bullet Club shirts.
Yeah.
Like that's the deal that they made. So you're going to find standard Bullet Club, Young Bucks, Hangman, Villain, Cody,
Omega
and the, well, and that's Bullet
and
Club.
Then the, and there's and the, Elite. Yeah, there's Elite shirts,
yeah,
too.
So, whereas I feel like each Hot Topic probably doesn't have that same, okay, everyone is carrying this Reigns shirt, this Ambrose shirt, this Rollins shirt. Because really, you see Cena, and you see the Shield guys.
And, well, I know you see New Day.
And New Day, yeah.
Yeah. Cena, Shield guys. I see Lesnar a lot. I'm trying to think. Enzo and Cass, when they had shirts out, they always had a very, in like almost every Hot Topic, there was a bunch of Enzo and Cass shirts.
Yeah, but so, I mean, but like, I don't think they have a set contract where they have to carry specific stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas, you know, this Hot Topic deal with the Young Bucks or with the
Bullet Club
and Bullet Club in New Japan, like, it's every store carries every shirt. Also, I don't know if it's going to come across on the podcast, so feel free to ignore this, but I'm seeing a lot of gaps as we're recording. So if you're losing time, I apologize, but Shannon is our tech guy and he's not here. So.
I'm just
bear
gonna,
with us.
I'm assuming everything is fine. But yeah, no, it's just, it's neat to see merch selling that's not WWE and being very prevalent. Because like even when we went to Glory Pro back in July.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Cody Rhodes was wrestling. Mm-hmm. So that would explain a big like boost in Bullet Club shirts being there. But like just going to like CCW.
Yeah.
We see a handful. I see just as many Bullet Club shirts there as I do WWE shirts. When we go to Stride, I see a bunch of Bullet Club t-shirts. Like, yeah. It's neat to see a counterculture in wrestling that we haven't seen since, like, ECW.
Yeah, no, it's great to see, like, it's, you hear guys like Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho and anybody on, especially the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, like, this is the best time to be an independent wrestler.
Yeah.
To be able to go out and make money outside of WWE. Because used to, you could make a living, but it was nowhere near as easy. It was nowhere near as lucrative. Whereas there are people who are saying that Cody Rhodes could be, it's very likely that Cody Rhodes is making more money now than he was when he was with WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Young Bucks are making way more than what WWE is going to offer them to sign.
Do you remember how big that line was at Glory Pro to meet Cody Rhodes?
Oh, it was a...
Because it was at the stage. The stage from the ring was like, you'd say a good 20 feet, mm-hmm. 20, 30 feet. And then it looped around the ring.
Yeah.
And you can say like,
and
well...
And it stayed that long.
Yeah, it stayed that long until they said, hey, we have to cut it off here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can say, well, Cody wouldn't have gotten that exposure if it wasn't for WWE. And you're right to a certain extent. But when he left with a game plan.
Yeah,
of just being like, all right. I've never been on the indies. I am going to be Mr. Independent,
mm-hmm.
and do everything he did. Bola, he did Ring of Honor, he did, and he, I don't know if he's the first, but he is the most prevalent, to my knowledge, Ring of Honor world champion without signing a contract.
Yeah, he, and it's one of those things where I think it was Joey Ryan on Twitter talked about when the PWI top 500 came out, and he's like, how is Cody not in the top 10? He's the only person who was at WrestleMania, Bound for Glory, and
Wrestle Kingdom. In the course of a year.
In the same year. Like, that's never going to happen again. And that's never happened before, and it's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
And so, you're right, absolutely right. He talked about that on the podcast with Jericho. And speaking of Cody Rhodes, like, he just officially signed the contract with ROH. So they put the chance... Like, how much faith does ROH have and trust in Cody for them to put their championship on him without him signing a contract?
And he never disgraced the belt either. Well, he did let that 5-year-old win it.
He won it right back.
I got him in the Queens.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this, and it completely... Okay, there we go. Please, just audacity. Slow your roll. I need you to not... It's making me so nervous.
Record and chill.
What do you think of the Ring of Honor?
The physical ring?
Have you seen that? I hate it. Like, I apparently it's because there's some sort of legal dispute over the design of the ROH World Championship.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they have removed it from TV. And it has instead been replaced. And Cody has introduced it as an actual ring. It's like a Super Bowl ring
yeah.
that you wear. And I totally get, you know, it's a unique thing. it's something that you can carry with you everywhere you go. You don't have to worry about lugging this giant championship belt around with you. Get it, you know, he even mentioned like checking it through airports and then, oh, what are you, some kind of boxing champion?
Yeah.
But I don't like it. Like this.
But like, and like,
he pulls it off. Like, I will give him that.
Yeah, because it's an incredible, like, swarmy thing to do. Be mm-hmm. like, oh, this belt? Screw that. I'm going to carry around this awesome ring, which is a very Cody thing to do because he's part of the Bullet Club. Like, they're very counterculture in wrestling. So, like, now is the perfect time to try to pull some junk like that. But I'm also not the biggest fan of it. I don't hate it, but it's one of those, like, Ring of Honor has kind of been the purest form of wrestling over the last 15 years.
Right.
So, like, it's one of those, like, I feel like it needs the belt, which I'm sure they'll have a belt the second they can get a design through. And Ring of Honor's honestly had some of my favorite belts of all time. So it's one of those I don't see it not staying in too long.
It's still legitimately, like, one of my favorite moments that Ring of Honor did was when Christopher Daniels won the championship, mm-hmm. and they presented him with the original Ring of Honor championship. Like, that was awesome to me. I love that. And, I mean, and I feel like I'm coming off as way too harsh against it because it's not like it's a total deal breaker and I absolutely hate it.
It's just a personal preference.
Yeah, it's just a personal preference. I love the championship belts. I think I like the idea behind this better than the execution.
Yeah.
Because there's just, it doesn't have the same like weight and clout to it as a championship belt does. But this character that Cody has created for himself
works beautifully with it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, this is tailor made for him. It's just one of those things where it's like Cena's spinner belts. Once he loses it to somebody, it needs
gross.
To be replaced because it very much then just kind of feels like can you imagine Jay Briscoe walking around with the Ring of Honor?
So, all right, and I just thought about this, and I haven't seen Ring of Honor TV in a while, so I don't know if they do any championship matches on the TV show. I'm assuming not, but just, like, if that was at, like, CCW, in Lane Austin having to, like, do the belt presentation, but the ring, he's just, like, thumbing and fingering it up.
Right.
And just one-handing it, be like, or do you hold it with two hands?
Right, yeah.
It's ring.
It's honor. There won't be any more ladder matches for it.
Oh, that would be so hard to find. Get some sweat in your eyes and you're having to find that.
It's not a thing that I don't know. It's a personal preference thing. And Cody makes it work for him because I love this. I just love this character where he's presenting himself. Everywhere you go, he's in a suit. Like,
yeah.
You're not seeing him in his own merchandise in sweatpants. Like, he is rocking the suit. He shows up and looks like he's finally able to present himself as the big of a deal and the legitimate contender that he knows he can be, as opposed to, you know, Stardust or, you know, wacky mustache and disfigured mask, which I loved all of that stuff. Like, I really did.
And he did it to 110%.
Oh, yeah. The quote that he gave on Chris Jericho's podcast.
I love it. You know,
I can turn. I've made a career out of turning chicken shit into chicken salad. But at a certain point, you start to wonder, man, what could I do if they just gave me chicken salad to start with? And it's like, yeah, that's a very fair question to ask when you're with, like, someone that's
just the way he said it. Cause I remember he had that, it was like, oh yeah, Cody, don't call me Rhodes. I was like, that's a day. Listen, I'm knocking that out in one day. I'm knocking it out in the morning.
And so, yeah, so we got kind of on a Cody rant there, but he has officially signed with Ring of Honor.
Yes.
It looks to be a multi-year deal. But it also allows him to continue to work with New Japan.
It's the Young Bucks.
Yeah, it's very much the Young Bucks type scenario here, where he can hold championships, he can wrestle for them. I have to assume it's a similar thing where he's free to wrestle other places, just as long as it's not televised.
Yeah, like, because he can take certain indie dates, because it's the same thing with the Bucks. Like, they can take PWG, they can take other promotions,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be Ring of Honor approved.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, like, at least Ring of Honor is paying him for that. And when you're doing in one of those contracts, you have to, unless it has the Ring of Honor logo on the shirt, you know they're getting 100% of that merch money, which is good. Like, it's good that they got him exclusive. It's good that he is being paid now, like, through a company just being like, all right, so we have you. And it's good for him.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy he got that contract.
Yeah, no, he definitely deserves it. And I'm excited to see what he can do with, you know, the amount of trust and faith that they had in him beforehand, and now that they know that, like, you know, okay, he's our guy. I'm real interested to see what goes from here. Plus, his stuff with the Bullet Club has been really, really interesting. So,
yeah, no, and it's been his time to shine, and he's done 100% with it.
I won't lie and say that I'm not a little bit bitter that this means we're probably never going to get to see him at CCW.
Yeah.
But good for him.
Oh, yeah, no. Awesome. I mean, the good thing is we got to see Bullet Club Cody live once.
Yeah,
it's an amazing match.
Yeah, that was against Michael Elgin. Like,
that
was
so great.
So cool.
Cody sucks eggs.
I love that shirt. Speaking of sucking eggs, I have it typed as GFW, but it's not GFW anymore. Impact Wrestling. Well, no, this actually is GFW.
Yeah, it was still GFW when they did it.
They filmed a number of episodes of a TV series, but not really TV. It was more of a pay-per-view event, but it was kind of an in-between.
Yeah.
3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
GFW Amped, I think is what it's called. That don't quote me on that.
If they did, Mountain Dew needs to sue.
Yeah. Well, what would they get? And part of this is, it blows my mind that this is how they try to spin it, because this was filmed 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important to remember, because you might recognize a couple of the names on this show as Eric Young and Bobby Roode.
Okay.
We all know where they currently are. Eric Young is the current one of the current NXT tag team champions. Bobby Roode, former NXT champion, and is now just an active SmackDown roster member.
Yeah.
He made his debut, or no, he didn't.
He debuted a month or two ago.
He debuted a month ago, but he actually came out and did something substantial on Tuesday.
Okay.
So they are appearing on this broadcast, and for whatever reason, GFW decided that in their broadcast and now in their announce teams, instead of, you know, recording the commentary and leaving it 3 years ago, they needed to go in and correct themselves by saying, look who made the jump. Now, they were very careful not to say left NXT or left SmackDown or former NXT or former SmackDown.
Look who made the jump.
But look who made the jump from this promotion to the way better one. It blows my mind that is how they try to frame it. As because Eric Young was on, because I saw the Eric Young thing earlier, because someone's like, oh, good to see you finally go back home. NXT had no idea how to use you. And he was like, I'm still at NXT. We filmed that 3 years ago. And then a couple days later, this video clip of, oh, I can't believe he's here. He made the jump. And it's Bobby Roode coming out to confront Jeff Jarrett. It's like, no, but he didn't. I mean, he did, but not in the way you're trying to say it happened. So it's just, I don't know why. That's funny to me. I like Impact. I've been an Impact fan for a while, for better or worse. I still, to this day, think the Bobby Lashley story that they have going on is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what Rosemary's doing right now as well. So they're definitely high spots to Impact. It's just, but then they do stuff like this, and it's like, and this is why you even lost the number two spot.
Yeah.
You could have been such a great thing, and now this is the story that we have to talk about whenever GFW comes up.
Yeah, I think we're going on the 10-year anniversary whenever Impact used to be amazing. Whenever it was just like, no, this is a viable number two. Now it's just like a...
Yeah,
it's suitable number four.
The rise and fall of TNA is going to be an amazing documentary.
It's also going to be 30 years long. How are they? They're going to have to fit that on a super duper Blu-ray.
The history of TNA. It's just like one of those it's a box set.
Yeah, it's going to be an anthology.
Man, I would be fine with that if they dedicated an hour weekly,
they did the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, but just dedicated that to even not just even TNA, but if they did that for you know, if they did it as a non-biased thing, because the Monday Night Wars is just, that it just reeks of the, you know, histories written by the victors.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that information is not necessarily totally on the up and up. Let's be totally honest.
Yeah.
But to see just a historical documentary made on WCW, WCCW, ECW, stuff like that, NWA, that would be amazing.
Yeah. But it's one of those, again...
But that's a super niche market. The wrestling nerds like us would eat it up, but the casual viewer would be like, pass. It's just, you just got to find someone to be willing to take that hit.
We can't even get wrestling fans to watch 205 live.
That's very true.
Yeah.
So the last little bit of news before we jump into No Mercy and Raw and SmackDown and all of that, is something that I have a much bigger problem with than I should. I know you're fine with it. Shannon's fine with it. And I'm in the minority here, and I will I will explain my position.
Okay.
We got the WWE 2K18. We got the full roster reveal over the course of a couple weeks.
I'm more on your side than what you think.
That's surprising. So we got the whole roster reveal, and it's an amazing, and I will not deny it is an incredible roster.
Yeah. Like base game, it is an amazing roster.
For $60, you were getting just an absolutely stacked roster. But today, was it today or yesterday?
Yesterday. We got the DLC yesterday. We got the pricing today, which is what made me mad.
Okay. Oh, see, I didn't even see that. But we got the list of the 2K18, season pass, the DLC, which they started releasing names last week. And then it slowly kind of improved. So for the season pass, if you buy the season pass, the competitors you're able to play as are going to be the Hardy Boys, the Rock and Roll Express, Beth Phoenix, Aleister Black, Elias Sampson, and Lars Sullivan. And I think there might be one more.
Did you hit up Ruby Riot?
And Ruby Riot. Yeah. That's right. And Ruby Riot. And the problem that I have with it is that's seven names that have all been within the company for not a crazy amount of time. I feel like Ruby Riot has been there probably the longest out of any of them.
And see, and this is so whenever we got in the argument in the group chat about this, because somebody said Aleister Black. So like, he was signed in 2016. I was like, yeah, but he didn't debut until Mania weekend. He had one match as Tommy End on TV beforehand at the UK tournament against Neville. Mm-hmm. But Aleister Black did not debut until 2017 at Mania weekend against, I can't remember who he faced the first time, but that was his first match.
I think it was Almas.
You know, I think it was too.
But the problem that I have with it is that those are seven names, and we talked about it on Nerd Up a lot. I bought Injustice 2, and I bought the Ultimate Edition mm-hmm. of Injustice 2. That was $100. I bought the digital version, so I didn't get any kind of awesome, you know, which they didn't really do a physical Ultimate Edition.
No. Like, you didn't get, a statue. You did get a steelbook.
Yeah.
Because that's what I have.
I didn't get a steelbook because I bought the digital version.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's, the one difference.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, but whenever, as they were doing their roster reveal of the playable fighters, they were very forefront, okay, there will be 9 DLC characters. But we're not announcing them ahead of time. They're not finished. They're not done. We are still working on them. We can't show you footage. We're not even announcing who they are. The game has been out for months now, and we are there's only in the second pack. They're doing three packs of three. We still don't know who are in the final three.
Yes.
We don't know who that is. And it's because NetherRealm Studios, and despite the problems they've had in the last couple of days, which we will cover on Nerd Up this Sunday, stay tuned to that. They have always been very good about having these Watchtower streams where Tyler Lansdow, who does their community management, comes out and he's like, okay, hey, we're showing off this character. This is what we're showing. And every single time people were asking about, hey, show us DLC characters. Hey, do this. And he's like, I would love to show you the DLC characters. We can't. They're not finished. If 2K were to come out tomorrow and say, hey, we understand there are a lot of big names in this DLC package, and a lot of people are frustrated that they're not being included in the same game, but we want you to know that these characters, they're not ready yet. We haven't finished them. You know, the models are still being worked on, things like that. I would remove all of my complaints. I just need that little bit of communication. And maybe that's me asking too much from this big corporate entity like 2K. But it's just, you know, NetherRealm takes the time to do that. And they really set the bar for fighting games and really just kind of community management in general. Like, other than Jeff Kaplan with Overwatch, you're not going to find a better company that is communicating with their team. And at the same time, even if 2K does come out and say that, Injustice 2, all of the characters play wildly different. There are some similarities and there are some, you know, reused stuff from previous games. But for the majority of them, they are not sharing moves. They are not sharing animations even. Whereas I feel like with these 2K games, once you get the character model in, you're kind of done.
Yeah.
Because, and we haven't seen a lot of gameplay, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they have super upped their game in individual animations. But in previous years, aside from the giant, size differences, everybody gets up the same. Everybody lands the same.
You would be surprised on a lot of the in-between motions.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I watch a lot of, because I'm, you know how much I enjoy these games.
Right.
I watch a lot of, Did You Knows, and, there's a lot of, chain wrestling stuff that, only Nakamura can do.
Yeah.
Like, he does the, like, head and chest. And, yeah. And, like, they do a lot of things like that, but you are right. There's a lot of shared animation to where, like, yeah, no, you just need to get the base model, which you've already done the mocap for.
And I'm going to counter that with, look at the Hardy Boys. When was the last time the Hardy Boys' entire moveset has not been in the 2K game?
They've been in every 2K game.
They've been in every 2K game. They have their moveset. They have their animations down because they know, well, we can't put them in the game, but our community is going to make them anyway, so we're just going to give that to them.
Yeah.
Same thing with Kurt Angle. You know, and as much as I enjoy, like, Ruby Riott and, like, even Lars Sullivan, I don't know why he's in this game, but I'm fine with it.
I think that was one of those where NXT thought he was going to be a bigger deal, and they were like, shoot. See,
you know what? I disagree. I think they knew that he is going to be presented as a big deal because Lars Sullivan has only really been relevant the last few months in NXT. Yeah. Like he debuted as a guy who kept losing tag team matches, eventually obliterated all of his tag team partners.
Yeah.
One on one,
yeah.
Like started after the match, then went on to one on one matches, then went into these handicap matches. And now he's only just now entering his first major feud with No Way Jose.
Yeah.
And that happened last week. So I think this was just like, okay, this is someone that we see something in and we're going to use. So, hey, 2K, here's this guy. Here's what he's going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like that kind of forethought.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It just, as much as I love Ruby Riott doesn't do a whole lot different move-wise, like in the sense, like her moveset is impressive. Mm-hmm. I just mean like those transitions, like the way she moves in the ring. Like she doesn't feel that special to require this extra amount of time to be able to put into the game. But again, I don't make games. I don't know how difficult it is. It's just...
Yeah, so do you remember like whenever you said something that makes me angry, or you angry, not as much me, mm-hmm. and I said you'd be surprised?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so last year I bought the NXT edition. The NXT edition last year did not come with the season pass. That is super important to remember. I paid $100 for like three different characters to get day one.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Cruz, Jax, and Nakamura. And then I got some like Goldberg stuff and I got the awesome NXT box. I bought the Seen Enough edition this year. It's $50 more. So I'm paying $150. This time it comes with the season pass. I had to buy the season pass last year. It was $30. Now I have the numbers because I'm on a forum post thing of the and whenever I saw the season pass, I was expecting, because like you said, like I hate that they have this many characters for DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they had 32 characters for DLC. This year they have 16. Do you want to know, like, so you're saying, oh, Dalton, mm-hmm. so, like, the season pass dropped in price, right? Still $30. I still get a new moves pack, and I get two extra, like, character packs that we've already talked about.
Yeah.
I'm also getting Batista, John Cena 06, John Cena 10, Kurt Angle 01, Kurt Angle 06, and Rob Van Dam. But that's, like, the NXT version that I got last year. I got some special ones that I didn't have to pay extra for outside of the season pass. The fact that they literally gave me half of the DLC that they gave me last year. Now, some of those DLCs were duplicates because of the showcase mode,
mm-hmm.
but they gave me like the $30 that I had to spend outside of the NXT edition felt like it was worth it to me because I literally, for a dollar, I got a different character model.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's like $2 per character model.
And now, also worth noting, because we didn't talk about it, is one of the things included in this DLC is the character boost for the WWE My Career. Whatever they're calling that. Like, it's...
Oh, the My Career Kickstart?
Yeah.
Is that in the season pass this year? Because that's always extra.
I thought it was in the season pass. Look that up real quick. But the reason that that's interesting to note is because NBA 2K18 just came out, and it is being torn to shreds by fans because you basically have to put in extra money if you want the character you created to be at all viable. To get your character to an 89... You would have to you can either pay to buy this virtual currency, or you can grind out 300 games to earn enough points to get your character up to that level 89, or you could just spend like $30. And that is gross. And if they try to do a similar thing with WWE here,
Now, and I mean, I'm not defending them, because I mean, the NBA fiasco mm-hmm. is exactly what I just said it was. But the way WWE does their virtual currency is you use it to unlock characters.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the My Career Kickstart, it's always been $10 extra, and that's not included in the season pass. It may be included this year. I'm trying to type that out right now. But the 2K18, like the wrestling games, they handle their virtual currency completely different.
Well, and hopefully they continue to do that, because I know I think the season pass does come with that unlock option, where you can just unlock all of the characters instead of having to, like, grind through the game and unlock them, like, as you progress.
Yeah, and it basically, it just makes it to where your character's a pretty tough, like, pretty tough right off the bat. Like, he's pretty stout at that point.
Mm-hmm.
My player Kickstart pack, players will gain access to unlock my boost. Players can also unlock all clothing made available at launch. The virtual currency literally just, oh, it does look like you do get a Kickstart. So, yeah, no, you get it this year. Every other year, it's been $10 extra.
So, when there's, you know, so from 130 to 150, there's an extra 10 added in. I mean, just looking at it empirically. Like, I mean, I know it's not necessarily something that you would necessarily do.
Yeah.
Because I know you didn't last year. You didn't put in that extra $10.
Yeah, no, I've never bought into My Career Kickstart.
So, I mean, but that's something you get at least. So, that maybe softens the blow a little bit. But I just... I know we are well past that. We are years past that, but I missed when it was just like, oh, you can unlock these characters just by like playing the game. And like, hey.
And that's how last year's were.
And again, $60, you are getting a completely stacked roster. So it's.
Yeah, and I completely forgot. So like when you buy the season pass or when you buy the game base, you have so many characters that are locked.
Mm-hmm.
Like go buy any of the 2K games that you don't have a season pass for. You get the accelerator for $2.
Mm-hmm.
$2, or maybe it's $5, because I mean, honestly, they have over 200 characters after DLC on this new game. If you spend the $2, it used to be $2, I think it might be $5 now, but if you spend that $5 for that accelerator, you get everything unlocked, all of like extra attires, arenas, all that.
Right.
For $5.
So all of the create, like all of the create, instead of, you know, unlocking certain tops or tights or arenas. As
or
you
like
play the
second
game,
attires for, like other attires for the wrestlers.
Right. You can just pay the extra money and get everything unlocked right away.
Cause that's, I always use that. Like whenever right. I get my season pass, I get that perk and I just hit X, it unlocks everything. And now I get to enjoy my game.
It's one of those things where it's like, I always tell myself that I don't want to do that. But then like, even with 2K17, like looking at the amount of stuff that it would take to unlock, I put some serious thought into buying the accelerator.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad I didn't, because I only played 2K17 like 4 times, and I also bought that NXT edition.
Yeah,
I wanted that Finn Balor statue, and I got the Scott Dawson signed ring.
Yeah, so. And like they do add stuff to their, like I don't have to worry about it because I got the season pass regardless. Like I was spending for the extra, but it's just I feel like they kind of screwed us on the DLC this year. There should have been another 10, 15 characters.
Yeah.
Because like there's always been like 3 wrestler packs or 2 wrestler packs and then a showcase mode. That's how it's been the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
This year's it's just 2 wrestler packs, my player Kickstart, which I'm not going to use, or I might use, I don't know.
If they give it to you, you might as well.
Yeah, and then like the new moves pack, which honestly I don't dick around with too much.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bummer, but like I said, I'm buying it regardless. And all of the characters that were in DLC last year, I'm pretty sure are on the game this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting the same, like I'm getting the value, quote unquote, but it's kind of done cheaply in my opinion.
Yeah. You'd rather just have that, you'd instead of getting that, you know, boost and the accelerator stuff like that, you would rather just get more characters.
Yeah, give me James Ellsworth.
So, ew.
I mean, there's like a lot of roster holes.
It's the first time that sentence has ever been said. So moving on from 2K and any other announcements or big stuff like that, once we get some like dedicated gameplay stuff, I know we'll talk more about it because I know Shannon's excited for the game.
Yeah, we have 2 weeks away.
Is it that close?
Yeah, because Shannon and I got the Seen Enough edition. We get it 4 days ahead of time.
Ooh, well then, never mind. Sounds like you guys are just going to be getting it, and then I might pick it up used if one comes into the store. Because I am interested in the story mode stuff. Like, I don't like the idea that you have to do either corporate or plucky babyface. Like, yeah. There's no real it doesn't look like there's a lot of in-between, but I'll deal with it. Maybe. Or I'll just skip it again, because I miss the No Mercy games, and those are the kind of gameplay I like instead of the simulator. But again, that's just personal preference. Let's see what else there was. So, No Mercy, of course, was this past Sunday. I know it's been said to death, and like everybody has said it before, but holy shit, Cesaro. Eating the turnbuckle, he took that slingshot.
The turnbuckle ate him.
Went face first into that LED wrapping around the turnbuckle, immediately goes down, clutches his mouth, moves his hand away, and you see there's blood, and he's missing teeth. So it's like, oh, he just knocked out 2 of his front teeth. That's insane. Then he proceeds to wrestle arguably the best match of the night.
Yeah.
With Sheamus against Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. That match was nuts. But that's not the, you know, the big part of the story. The big part of the story is it turns out Cesaro did not break his 2 front teeth. He hit the turnbuckle so hard, it shoved his 2 front teeth up into his gums. Ugh. Like, I know. You just licked your teeth and I'm like feeling them they're all still there.
Cause you've heard my dental woes. My bottom row of my teeth do not look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to CCW, Fans Fest and you see the live podcast, you might be able to get a good glimpse of them. But yeah, no, anytime somebody talks about teeth, I get cringy. And
yeah.
I remember putting in the group chat, all Cesaro wants for Christmas is his two front teeth. Yeah. And then Hunter said, they got pushed into his mouth, and I said, that is substantially worse.
So much worse, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still going to – apparently, they are still going to have to cut him out.
Oh, yeah, they're dead. They're done.
They have to get him removed, and then he'll get those capped eventually. But, oh, that was so gross. And, not only did he continue to – he wrestled the rest of his match. It's not like they only went for body shots and, shoulder shots. He was getting hit in the mouth.
A lot,
multiple
yeah.
times, and just you know, maybe it was to continue to get some blood going because it's a great visual. As much as we say we hate to see it, a lot of the time,
but it wasn't dangerous blood. Well, dangerous to our knowledge, blood.
I mean, no one is gonna be is wrestling in WWE with dangerous blood. That's just
well,
not
I mean,
a thing
dangerous. It's not
it wasn't like a cut,
a cut above his eyebrow. It was in his mouth. It's very contained.
Yeah,
a certain amount of salt water can. Affect that to
right.
where it's not bleeding as much. So it wasn't a super dangerous moment.
Yeah. But it's still, that was hats off to Cesaro for again, just stealing the show. Him and Sheamus, I liked the matches that they did because they were always great matches, but you know, you're sick of seeing them wrestle each other.
Yeah.
That we called the tag team thing happening. It did. And then it turned out to be one of the best tag teams WWE's produced in a really long time.
Because Cesaro's in it.
This isn't to take anything away from Shane.
But
Cesaro is a special kind of talent. Anyone who's listening to this is aware of how good Cesaro is. But I do feel like Sheamus doesn't get his fair shake in the team because he is, as important.
And
I'm
not crapping on Sheamus right now. It's just one of those, think of any time Cesaro's been in a tag team in WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Has he had a bad tag team?
No.
The real Americans should have had belts. Tyson and Cesaro. We're amazing against the Usos. We're amazing against New Day.
Fact.
And cats. and then this whole The Bar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hate the name.
I don't like the name.
But I love it.
I love the catchphrase.
Because we didn't raise the bar.
We are the bar. I love that, but I don't like it as a name.
I love the shirt. The shirt's awesome. I love everything about it.
Yeah. So that match was amazing. Go out of your way to check it out. I'm legitimately bummed that they didn't win the championships back. I get that they don't want to necessarily, and I'm throwing this word around. It's not what they would be doing, but it's definitely not what they're doing on SmackDown, in my opinion. But they don't want to hot shot two sets of tag
or
team
juggle.
Titles.
They don't want to
juggle.
Don't,
That's a much better way of saying it. Thank you. Yeah, they don't want to be juggling these two sets of championships, constantly changing hands, which, I mean, this is a scenario where I believe it would work because both teams have proven how tough they are. They have each other's number. They're adapting. My favorite thing that Sheamus and Cesaro do is the way that they get beat the first time doesn't work the second time.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins have tried at every team they've wrestled. The Hardys did it. They would go back and you will see the same spot that beat them the first time, but either they kick out or they reverse it.
Yeah.
Or they get out of it. And that's just that little bit of storytelling that I love. And it's something special. And New Day and Usos, we're kind of seeing a little bit of that. That got announced as a Hell in a Cell match.
Oh.
In a couple weeks here. And
it's going to be interesting to see how.
I think I'm willing to put money on that will be the best match on the card.
Oh yeah,
because it's been the best match of it's been the best part of SmackDown pay per views for the last three.
Yeah, though the Usos in a tag match will always be the match of the
and
night.
And the New Day,
consistently the Usos for the last 5 years.
Oh yeah, no,
have just been fire.
And this, you know, it's not paranoia; it's the Usos.
Oh, I love that. Ooh, they're making elites of those Usos.
Oh, are they
getting them?
Well, yeah, I was gonna say. Well, there's $40 that Dalton's gonna be spending,
and I'll probably try to convince you.
I know. I passed on American Alpha, so I'm not going to be, and I know I'm wrong, but I like American Alpha better than I like the Usos.
That's fair. No, they're amazing.
I shouldn't, it's just, American Alpha really, really struck, there was just something about them in NXT.
You
that
don't like
really,
illegitimate children, do you?
I mean, no.
Sorry, Jason.
I don't like the, what?
Jason Jordan, he's an illegitimate.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you meant Jason Wells, and I was like, what did I miss?
No, Jason Jordan.
But yeah, there's something about them in NXT that I absolutely loved.
Yeah, and even their WWE stuff before they just kind of ran it into the ground.
Yeah. So, let me see here. I'm trying to find the rest of it. One thing that they're doing with the Shield that I hate. Okay. They can't be doing it. They cannot be doing it. And look me square in the eye and tell me that this is a good idea. It looks like they're building towards the Shield reunion for the first time since they've done it every year since the Shield split up to face on the greatest threat, arguably, that the Shield could ever potentially face. Evolution who? The Wyatt family? More like the Brady Bunch. When they're going to have to unite and be stronger as a unit than ever to take on the threat of the Miztourage. Get the out of here.
Now, did you watch the Miz TV segment?
Yes.
I love that segment.
I loved Roman in that segment. Yeah, I love Miz in that segment, and that's great. And that is a feud that I will watch again. I have no problem with Roman and Miz feuding with each other. But it's not just going to be that. This very much seems like they are trying to, because Miz even said it. You know, the Shield wouldn't have been the Shield if the Miztourage would have been around. And I get it. You are the cocky blowhard. You believe your guys are the top.
Yeah, about to say,
you're surrounding yourself with the best people. And I totally understand that.
About to say, do you remember the Miz telling Brock Lesnar he was going to take him to Miz New World? Yes. Like, that is very much his shtick.
And I'm totally on board with Miz doing that as his shtick. What I am not on board with
when it actually happens
is if it actually happens and it's a competitive match. Because I personally love Curtis Axel.
And I love Bo Dallas.
You sure do. But it's the thing with like gender. It's like there is a certain level of you got to do something to make these guys believable because you have the three people who are on the top of the business, arguably.
Yeah.
Against the Miztourage, who Axel and Dallas lost to the throw together tag team of Jason Jordan and Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
That's no, and you're not gonna, you cannot present them in any sort of way to make me think. And the way that they, like, when they beat down Reigns and like Miz standing over him with the Intercontinental Championship, totally on board. Like, I love that. I would, like, I know it, I know there's no chance in hell that the Miz beats Roman
if they do that feud.
I don't see him coming out of that feud with the Intercontinental Championship. Like, well, he doesn't come out of that feud on top. I think they are waiting, they're not gonna put the Intercontinental Championship on Roman just because they're saving the Universal Championship for him. I don't think he's getting that stopgap because then they have to take the Intercontinal Championship off of him.
Which they could.
But it would have to be like some super shenanigans.
It's going to be convoluted.
Yeah. Because I liked the Miz Roman promo exchange better than I liked anything that Cena and Roman did.
Yeah, because it was just the whole like. Because
this was a storyline, like, they were both good. Like, yeah. They both did great. Like, that was Roman's promo by himself leading up to No Mercy. Is arguably the best thing he's ever done on the microphone. Like, yeah. I'll give him that. And his stuff with Cena was good. But this, working with The Miz, is a whole other level.
Yeah.
Because you get to be, like, he was that just calm, cocky, kind of D-bag.
Yeah, because it was just like, what do you think would happen if the Miztourage went against the Shield? We'd beat your asses. That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, and that's like, what would happen. And yeah. It was believable. And it's so just one of those things like, yes, you are right, and I don't need to see it.
Yeah, just like, we're very much aware. Like, give me a Royal Rumble spot where that happens. But don't give me a full-blown match. I don't need to see the Shield anymore. Like, if they want to do that in 5 years because there's some gigantic threat, mm-hmm. like, if they bring back another Nexus,
yeah.
that is when the Shield needs to come back.
Right.
But until they bring up every top star from NXT as a faction,
right.
the Shield stays. And it's cute little spots in, like, big matches.
And even as, like, I lost it. I had a thought that's... Oh, and for me personally, like, even when the Shield does finally reunite, all three of them, it's totally ruined for me because, like I said, they've literally done a Shield reunion every year since they split up. Granted, yeah. you know, it was Seth Rollins as a heel and, like, they did other, like, they had this weird workaround
for it. But the most recent one was they were all three faces because it was at the Survivor Series match.
Yeah. So that kind of hurts it for me. No Mercy, we're not going to go over the full card just because we are running out of time. And there's stuff that we're going to talk about that's going to take up more time. I just want to mention Jason Jordan's dejected promo against The Miz.
Jesus.
Ending with, yeah, well, Miz, you suck. That was just the... It was so... Like, when you have, like, Roman Reigns dropping, you know, fake-ass bitch. Oh, like, that's getting those crazy reactions because it's PG. And then your big ending is, you suck.
It's the whole thing with, like, if Shannon was here right now, Bash at the Beach 96. Somebody get out here and kick their butt.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just...
I get what you're doing.
Right, and I understand it as a TV PG environment, but whenever you are kind of already kind
they
of walking...
They own the network!
Yeah. But, I mean, with the advertisers and sponsors and Mattel and all that, like, I get it. Also, I very much enjoyed the women's match.
That was a good story they told.
I'm glad Nia Jax survived, and I'm real excited to see, even though we kind of already got a little bit of it on SmackDown, a legitimate Alexa Bliss Mickie James feud. Gimme.
Oh, Raw. You mean Raw?
Well, they did it on SmackDown.
Oh, yeah,
they kind of did that weird turn of Mickie
James.
Did you
watch the promo, Monday night?
Yeah.
Against, oh, that was so good. That was both of those girls being on their A game.
Yeah, no, it was great. And I love to see
I don't want to see you break a hit, Mickie.
Bray Wyatt beat Finn Balor. Or no, I got that backwards. Yeah, Balor beat Bray Wyatt.
Because Bray Wyatt doesn't win pay-per-views.
I mean, he's had a win streak on feuds. Like, he's been successful feud-wise, but it's just, it kind of goes back to that thing. Oh, hey, well, here goes Wyatt again. And apparently that feud's still going. I don't know why.
He got beat by the man, Finn Balor. Like, that was the match that Balor loses.
I see, and I disagree. I think this is a good way of showing that Finn Balor doesn't need to bring out the demon every single pay-per-view. Like, he...
But what's the point of that,
keeps,
then?
It keeps it special. It keeps the demon special. Like, if because it shows that, oh, well, Balor can only win the big matches when he's the demon. No, he has a credible win, as much as we know that, you know, they've ruined Bray Wyatt. Like, he has a credible win to his name as Finn Balor,
yeah.
Just as the man. And like he said, the man created the demon. Who's more dangerous? So, and I like the thing. I wish they would go into a longer thing with Goldust, but they kind of threw that away. I thought that's where they were moving into. But then he just beat Goldust on Raw and then Bray Wyatt again, which... don't need to see this anymore.
Because, like, yeah, no, we heard, like, three people on Monday Night Raw say, like, I'm going after the Universal Championship. And only, like, whenever you have...
Balor being one of them, like...
Balor, whenever it's Balor, Strowman, and Reigns,
yeah.
Which one's going to get pushed to the Bray Wyatt feud? Balor. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, I would be fine with, like, now, a Bray Wyatt-Braun Strowman feud, like, from seeing
Made you, and now you're going to... You need to pay respect to the person that brought you
exactly,
here.
Yeah. I would be on board with
because,
that.
Because, like, the Beast versus the Demon.
Oh, yeah, no, like, that it writes itself. Like, that's an easy one. Paul Heyman saying that, like, you're the person I don't want to win. Like, I think you're the person I think is going to win, like, giving him that stamp of approval, and then him not doing it kind of elevates that a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm totally on board with seeing a Finn Balor-Braun Strowman match.
Well, I hope you
Until the last 10 seconds of it, which we'll get there in a second. We're at 57 minutes already. We're not doing an hour and a half show. Nowhere near.
All right. We got like 20 minutes then. Let's go.
So we got less than 20 minutes. I guarantee that. Enzo Amore beat Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship. The last little light I had inside of me died. I hated it. I get what they're doing. I understand that, like, they're turning Enzo. He is the loudmouth, especially the thing coming off of Monday. Like, the whole... You know, this division full of people who actively hate each other are somehow united because they hate Enzo just that much. And I understand what they're doing.
You just don't like it.
I hate that Enzo is biting Eddie Guerrero's shtick. I hate that they're name dropping Eddie Guerrero for it specifically. Like,
yeah.
That is gross to me. And just, you know, Neville was doing such a good job. Like, this doesn't seem necessary. And Pete, you're talking about the Cruiserweight division. The eyes are on the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
Like, again, I get it. Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Yeah, and the whole thing, like, I'm the exact opposite of you.
Yeah, you love it.
And, like, I love it.
And Shannon liked it a lot,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, my friend Derek texted me, and he said, well, now I have a reason to watch 205 Live.
And I want to tell Derek I'm going to smack you in the mouth because you had a million reasons to watch 205 Live because 205 Live has been good.
Yeah, and I love 205 Live. It's just one of those, like, everything that Enzo has said and everything that's said in the commentary table is completely true. The second Enzo got in there, it added that boost of power that everybody thought Austin Aries was going to give it.
And it should have.
Yeah. No, except, let me also say that he should have. But Enzo, just, he is one of those people that is just, he's so charismatic. And, like, even after the promo on Monday night of, like, just tearing everybody down, calling Jack Gallagher teacup, like, just ripping apart that entire thing, the thing that should have made him the ultimate heel.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out to 205 Live to a gigantic pop. I'm not here. Maybe my phone's just not, like, isn't, I can't hear the boos as well as I should, but I'm not hearing it off of Enzo. But like everything in this Cruiserweight thing, like up to like that promo that he cut on the entire division, Neville coming out, and like you even said, Neville with the limp arm.
Yeah.
Of like, I am here to end you. Drops the microphone. The red arrow that he finally hit, which he hasn't hit in a while,
mm-hmm.
and he bounced off of it so high and like stuck the landing with one hand.
Springboard. No, that was awesome. But here's the thing. He was here to end Enzo. Enzo showed up in the opening segment of 205 Live.
Worse for wear, but yeah, you're right.
But like, yeah, but he was still there. And like, I just.
And like, and I see this being a very much like a Brandon Barbed Wire thing where Enzo's, or Neville's gonna make his life hell. And I am gonna feel really like Enzo's gonna feel really bad the first time he has a no DQ match for that Cruiserweight belt because Neville's gonna screw him.
I'm. It's not grabbing me as it should. I've soured on Enzo months ago as it is. So like, and the crowd as a whole, like, look at his pop in NXT. Look at the reaction he was getting, like, from the first like few months that Enzo and Cass debuted on the main roster to look at the reactions they were getting a couple weeks before they broke, before the split, and Enzo's reaction since the split. Drastically different. Nowhere near as.
But I will still say I feel like the crowd is more hot for Enzo now than they were Reigns 2 weeks ago.
I mean, that's not super hard to do.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, he's not one of those people that should be the top guy, but he's still getting, and like, he's selling merch left and right.
No, like I said,
they make so much Enzo Amore, it's not even funny.
Like I said, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Oh, yeah,
I don't want to see Enzo with the championship. I don't want to see him. Like, 205 Live is a wrestling show. Like, it has always been putting out, like, say what you will about character development and how it's been treated. Like,
but that's a writer's fault. That's not a wrestler's
fault. Absolutely. Those guys go out there and they bust their ass to make it as entertaining as possible.
Yeah.
Drew Gulak is amazing. And I never thought I would have said that. Like, even during the Cruiserweight Classic, like, I wasn't a huge Drew Gulak fan. But here I am, like, holy crap. The PowerPoint stuff, like him on commentary, great.
Yeah.
And there's so many, like, there are so many people that I would rather see be elevated to this position that I honestly think that if WWE would have gave a crap about Austin Aries, we absolutely could have had this.
Yeah.
Aries versus Neville absolutely could have main evented a Raw.
Yeah.
Easily. And the crowd would have bought into it.
Yeah.
But they didn't bother until, like, it just so happens that the first time that WWE cares about the Cruiserweights is also the time that they decided to put Enzo with them.
I think they just realized that they were losing money on it.
And
they were like, all right, we need to get some eyes on this.
And that's their own fault.
Now,
like, I don't think Enzo is the savior here. It's just like, oh, crap, we should give a damn.
Yeah, so story. All right, so just going on storyline so we can move on. Basically, right now what we have in 205 Live is we have every single competitor of 205 Live is ineligible for a championship match because Enzo had a no-touch clause during his celebration on Monday Night Raw, which was the main event of Monday Night Raw. It was the very last thing we saw. You don't see them in the actual show. You just see Neville take them out.
Yeah.
But after they go off air, Braun hits him with a running power slam, and then Braun welcomes the ring, to which was low-key one of my favorite parts that of that segment. But everybody destroys Enzo, and now we have nobody. So in the group chat, well, I think even I said to you, there's Johnny Gargano's champs because, like, Enzo can't wrestle. Mm-hmm. That's the shtick they're going with now.
And I would absolutely love for him to be in that position.
But Ciampa.
Not just Ciampa, because if, you know, like you said, if Gargano comes out, wins the Cruiserweight Championship, there's an immediate, you know, feud, like blood feud between Ciampa and Gargano.
Yeah.
100% support that. I think that Johnny Gargano is going to need time on the main roster before he's put into that position. He is going to have to, like, NXT loves him. He is, like, the Daniel Bryan of NXT right now.
Yes.
And he deserves it because he's amazing.
Yeah.
The main roster, I don't think, is going to treat him as well as the Full Sail crowd does, as the NXT crowd does. I think he is very much going to have to work for every single inch. And, like, do I think that's right? Absolutely not. I think, like, he should show up, do two shows, and people be like, get it. Yep, I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm there.
But that's just not how it's going to be. And that's not how Vince is going to
see it
or portray it. So that's the only reason that I don't think that it'll be him.
It needs to be Gargano or it needs to be Lorcan. Those are my two.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just because Lorcan is.
But now he's doing that team with Danny Burch, which also, yes,
yeah,
fully on board
but with. But yeah, we need more time on this 205 Live thing to, like, really get a good grasp of it. We're 1 week in, and it feels weird.
I genuinely think that on Raw, Kurt Angle is going to be like, okay, so you're so hated that every single member of the of my 205 Live roster put their hands on you. That nullifies that no contact clause. You can't not have a challenger.
Yeah, Enzo touched all of them.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, not even that. Just yeah. Like, hey, so we can't not have a challenger, so that's null and void. You had yeah. a week that you didn't have to defend the championship. That's all you have to do. So moving on from that whole nonsense, John Cena versus Roman Reigns happened. I wasn't impressed.
I wasn't either.
I rewatched it last night even, and like I didn't like John Cena going from like this supposedly like super intense like feud to the jokey, oh, well, the crowd wants me to leave, so I'll leave.
Yeah. It's like, the whole
why
thing.
10 years later do you decide to do that for the first time?
Yeah.
And then like you like we pointed out as we were watching it, like the OMO, the borderline
Shawn Michaels selling.
Overselling. Like I wouldn't even like I don't it wasn't nearly as bad as the Shawn Michaels stuff, but it was borderline like that overselling.
You were
stuff.
Yeah, you were starting to see like it looked like it was almost insulty.
Yeah.
Which I mean, don't get me wrong, Cena is really good at screwing with the crowd.
Yeah.
And he really only did that for like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's not something that lasted the whole match at all.
Yeah.
And honestly, like I did enjoy watching it the second time, like watching Roman continuously just cut off the build of the five moves.
Yeah,
of Doom,
that was great.
Like, I very much enjoyed that. I like that. And, you know, the story of, oh, crap, Cena totally underestimated Roman. Cena couldn't, like, Cena did nothing to Roman that entire match. Like, and he got a couple shots in, but Roman had his number from bell to bell.
Until he started hitting 50 AAs.
Yeah, and then, but then it's Roman kicking out of, and then it's just finisher after finisher after finisher after finisher.
And that's, and then, that's the thing with, like, so, like with Shannon, like he was saying, is like use powerful moves. Cena has a repertoire that nobody like hit him with the Michinoku driver, have him kick out, hit him with that sunset flip powerbomb thing that you
that
pull
Yoshi
out.
That Yoshitonic, yeah.
Yeah, like hit him with that. Hit him with anything you can.
Mm-hmm.
Do Austin Rock at WrestleMania 19. Have him hit him with the spear.
Right.
Have him hit him with the Superman punch. Like, have him hit him with, like, Roman stuff.
There are options.
There are other things around using the attitude adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
There's other things around using that horrible STF that he uses. Like, there's 50 different answers than having him hit an AA, him kick out, have him hit another AA, rolling into the other AA,
right,
and then kicking out. He used the avalanche AA.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, Roman looked awesome.
Why do I
ever care about John Cena anymore?
And it's one of those things too where it's like, but and then this is coming off of watching Roman lose cleanly to guys like Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe and Finn Balor last year.
Yeah.
Like, so it's, I don't know, there's this weird disconnect for me of, oh, he can kick out of all of these Cena finishers and okay, well, Cena did. And the Cena fake retirement, because that's what it was, even on Raw Talk immediately after the pay-per-view, he said, oh no, I'm not retired.
Yeah.
I just have to reevaluate some things. He did the fake retirement after he lost to AJ Styles. He left the armband
band,
in
yeah.
the ring. And, you know, and AJ started wearing that around, which was awesome.
As a headband.
So, like, that, yeah, as a headband. That, like, that lessened a lot of that impact for me, too. It's like, okay, we just saw you pretend to retire. So there's no chance that I believe you're actually retiring here.
Yeah.
So it's, I wasn't a huge fan of it. Like,
diminishing return.
The match itself wasn't as bad as I initially thought it was, but that last like stretch where it was nothing but finishers for like 5 minutes, it's just like, I don't like the multiple finisher stuff. Like, that's just not.
Not on WWE. Like, the Young Bucks get a pass because that's like, that is their style.
That's their shtick.
Yeah, but whenever like I'm expected, like whenever you go to Monday Night Raw to a pay-per-view and like one spear puts them away, one AA puts them away, mm-hmm. you can't then hit 50 and then it not put them away.
Right. Well, and then so with... And then, yeah,
because like a Young Bucks match, that's their match. Yeah,
yeah. It is. But like, and with this one, it just, I don't like, to me, it just didn't work because, like I said, I'm less down on it than I was Sunday night after rewatching it.
Yeah,
like, and you know, watching Reigns just have Cena's number that whole time was cool.
Yeah,
like, yeah, and you know, even him saying like, oh, we're not talking now, like I hit hard. Like, the I hit hard thing was kind of cheesy, but like it made sense. Like,
yeah.
This, I come to this ring, but then after the match with Cena holding his arm up, like there's a great picture that Matthew from Botchamania put where it's Cena, Brian, and The Rock all raising his arm after their respective matches, minus The Rock, and then The Undertaker tipping his hat. And it's just like, I'm so sick of. The problem with Roman Reigns is not that he's a bad wrestler. Roman Reigns is a great wrestler.
Yeah.
We have said that multiple times on the show. The problem with Roman Reigns is we know that he has been handpicked as the guy. You even have John Cena telling us that he's been handpicked as the guy.
Yeah.
So when Cena says, oh, well, you know, you're not good, you're just protected. So are we supposed to believe now that Roman is actually good enough to beat Cena, or is he just protected from John Cena? You're the one that opened that into the universe, so it's a legitimate point to bring up. But so Roman is the handpicked guy. And people will say like, oh, but when they do something different with gender, you don't like it. And it's like, I don't think it has to do with, it's the fact that WWE is picking the guy now. They are the ones who are establishing who they are going to support and put. The reason Daniel Bryan was so big is because the fans picked Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
The fans want to be the ones who determine who is the guy. Like, and I don't think that's an unreasonable expectation. And like, Roman does not have that connection with the fans. Yes, he gets reactions, positive or negative, you know, and WWE can spin it however they want. But like, them trying to say that him beating John Cena at No Mercy was more important than him beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
And retiring him, which is their words.
Yeah, is ridiculous. Like, that is stupid.
Yeah.
There's just no comparison there. And so it's, I don't know, it's just, it's this weird disconnect that the fans know that it doesn't matter how they react to Roman. Roman's going to be the guy. But the fans want to be like, they want to feel responsible for someone. They want to feel a genuine connection to someone like they did with Daniel Bryan. And yes, Daniel Bryan is a once in a lifetime talent, and it's going to be impossible to, you know, reenact that.
Mainly because they keep trying to reenact that.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, I get what, again, it's like the Enzo thing. Like, I get what they're going for, and like, they're trying to show that.
I haven't cared about this since day one.
Oh no.
Like, and like, if you can't hook me on day one, and maybe I'm the problem, like, I'm not saying that this WWE is bad because I didn't like it, mm-hmm. but it's one of those, if you don't hook me day one, you're not going to hook me if you keep doing the same thing over and over, which is what they did until the match. And then you gave me a match that I wasn't a fan of.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. It's just not over with me.
And then, so just, yeah, I mean, I like Roman. I like Cena.
Yeah.
They're both phenomenal talents, but them actively saying like Cena, arguably the greatest of all time, is Roman now the greatest of all time? Like, boy, that's so forced.
Because AJ Styles should be the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt forced. It didn't feel natural, and it all just kind of felt phony.
Yeah,
to me,
like, it was very obviously what they were doing.
Yeah, but and then the main event, and the reason that I have such a problem with like Roman kicking out of all of these finishers is because of the main event. I thought the story that Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar told was amazing.
Uh-huh.
I love the idea that Strowman, like, Lesnar really had to pull out like all the stops. We haven't seen him go to the Kimura lock, and I'm gonna. It doesn't get it. No, never mind. It doesn't get a pass. Lesnar hanging onto the Kimura lock while Strowman is in the corner, like grabbing onto the ropes, and then them playing to the thing that Strowman can't get to the ropes after he was already there.
Yeah.
It's the same problem I had with the Nia Jax Bayley match in NXT, because they did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
With her choking her out. Like, that was a bummer. But everything before and after that was really, really good, because Strowman was actually dominant against Lesnar. We had not seen that before, like, you know, minus Goldberg.
Yeah.
And then Lesnar having to slowly work his way and battle back, like, on the defensive in a longer match. I loved that. And
yeah.
Maybe it's just because I am a wild, like, Strowman can do no wrong in my eyes. And I'm willing to admit that I have that blindness there.
I mean, I do too. Like,
but then, but the biggest problem for me was Lesnar hits one F5 and that's it. It's the same thing with Samoa Joe. It'll be the same thing when it's against Finn Balor. It's the F5 puts away whoever, unless you're Roman Reigns.
Or Taker.
Roman Reigns kicked out of 3 at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the story that they tell, is when Roman Reigns wrestles Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship again, and he kicks out of that F5, the commentary team is not going to be able to believe it.
Yeah,
the F5 has put away Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe. You know, they're going to run down all of these lanes that just the one F5, Randy Orton.
Yeah.
I think Orton kicked out of an F5.
No. I think the only people that, since he's been back since 2012, the only people that have kicked out of it are Cena, Taker,
and Triple H.
Cena, Taker, and Roman.
Oh, and Roman, yeah. So, but now we're just going to see Roman do it again, potentially? Gross.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I don't see a downside on Braun Strowman walking out of the arena with the Universal Championship.
Billy Hill's told me the best way is he doesn't need it.
He doesn't, but...
But like, he deserves it. Like, he deserves it, but he doesn't need it.
If he doesn't need it, then don't make
put him
in
that match.
Don't make him compete for it.
Yeah.
And, like, you want the crowd to think that the highest possible prize in the WWE is the Universal Championship.
Mm-hmm.
You're building up Strowman as this unstoppable force. Like, it's the fans are going to want to see that match in a matter of time. And to see him go down with one F5, that didn't sit well with me. I'm fine with him not winning that match. I knew going in that he wasn't going
to
win the match.
But he needed to look as tough as physically possible.
And he looked super tough. Like, I don't think he came out of that looking weaker by any stretch. But then to see what he did on Raw, where he's just like, I want competition. We've seen you do this before. Like, you don't need to be feuding one-on-one with the tag team champions. Both of you should have, like, all three of you should have more to work with. We should be seeing the setup for the next bar match. We should see the number, who they're going to put up against the Shield again. And then Strowman should be going into another legitimate feud where he can look great and make whoever he's wrestling look great by standing up to him.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems, again, it seems simple to me. Like, I don't get it. And again, like I said, I don't see any reason that, yes, you're absolutely right. Strowman does not need the Universal Championship, but boy, that would have been a moment. And he would have been a great champion who's there every week.
And then you could say, which they love saying, anything could happen in the WWE.
Right.
Bull.
Yeah.
This was placeholder the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like, nothing substantial happened. The Cena-Roman thing, it's Cena didn't retire, so nothing happened.
Yeah.
Like, all it is
Roman. Oh, Cena's taking some time off, you don't say.
Yeah, Roman got a clean win on Cena. Guess who else did? Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
You're in good graces.
Yeah. Especially with Cena losing to guys like Nakamura and Dean Ambrose and
and
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, I love the fact that Cena is losing to these guys. Like, this is absolutely how Cena should be used, is to make the guys who are going to be here for the next 5 to 10 years look amazing.
Yeah.
And he's doing a great job of that. That United States Championship Open is like one of my favorite things that wrestling has done in recent memory.
Yeah.
And that's because of John Cena.
Sorry.
So I don't know. You're right. I mean, it was a placeholder pay-per-view. Nothing super newsworthy, came out of it that's going to have long-lasting ramifications.
Except for 205 Live. That's literally the only one. Sorry. That's the one. They had one.
I want to go home now.
All right, so
let's go home.
Let's plug
it. So if you enjoyed this, hopefully you did, the full gang will be back next Wednesday.
Yep.
I haven't heard from Shannon on whether or not they're doing a Thursday night show tomorrow night. He said that they may not be doing that since he's on vacation. So keep an eye on the Facebook page. They'll make an announcement there, which that is facebook.com/podzilla1985. While you're there, give us a like, share us with your friends. If you like what we're talking about tonight or any of the other shows, we did our first, Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man in a while last night. I thought
it was a good episode.
So yeah, give us a like there, share us with your friends. If you want to help us out financially, you can go to patreon.com/podzilla1985. Throw us a little bit of money there. We appreciate every little bit. We are currently saving up for a brand new soundboard, which means the soundboard we're currently using can be our travel one for when we do more PW Presents, and maybe if we do an Indiana Comic-Con show or something like that. You know, you never know what we may end up doing. If you subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting service, those metrics go a long way to help show that we are, popular. We're worth paying attention to by these big companies. We're still kind of in the middle application process of getting on Spotify, which is really cool.
I've heard of talks of maybe 411 from Shannon.
He mentioned that, but yeah.
We're trying our best.
Yeah.
In us trying our best, we need our fans to try their best to get us as known as possible.
Yeah. So, leaving us a 5-star iTunes review, subscribing to us on iTunes, even if you use a different service, if you use a different podcasting service, but you have that Stitcher app, if we're on Stitcher, I'm not 100% sure. I know we're on Podcast Addict. If you give us a subscription on Podcast Addict, stuff like that. It really does go a long way, and we love you guys. I know we talk about all the time. We can't believe that you would sit here and listen to us ramble for an hour multiple times a week. So, yeah.
So if you like us that much,
yeah,
let other people like us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't, we're not a secret. We love everybody.
We do.
Especially
the ones who love us.
Let us love more.
We love the people who love us the most. So, we will be back for sure Sunday for another episode of Nerd Up. I guess the little teaser of what we're going to be talking about, some injustice shenanigans.
Jesse won't let us out of that contract. It's every Sunday.
Oh, no, that's me. I'm the one that's like, here we go. It's injustice. So for sure, tune in on Sunday for Nerd Up. Maybe we'll see you Thursday night. Otherwise, we appreciate you listening to us. come out, check us out Friday, September 29th at the AC Braz Arena for CCW Fan Access and CCW Best of the Best 2, Saturday, September 30th. Doors open at 6, bell time at 7. It's going to be a can't-miss show, so if you're in the area, make the trip. Come out and see us. We'll be there. And keep watching wrestling. It's a lot of fun.